I never understood communion in my Baptist days. How many of you grew up Baptist or in a free church tradition? Did y'all do communion every single Sunday? I didn't either. Usually after communion, my favorite activity was not necessarily the sacrament, which we did after the service had concluded and people had gone to lunch. But my favorite part of communion was the ability to snack on the freeze-dried Jesus we used in our service. I hated those trays that we had to pass around for communion because one of those women would fill those trays with tiny glass cups and would fill those tiny cups of juice to the brim of dark grape purple juice. We never had communion but three times a year: Christmas, Easter, maybe homecoming, and Mother's Day, because we knew everybody was going to be there. And we were adamant that communion was nothing more than an afterthought. So walking to an MCC for the first time, I had no cotton-picking clue what was going on when it came for communion. The preacher was talking about the liturgy and do this and do this and on the night, and I'm like, what night? I was lost, didn't know what was going on. And so obviously, Sunday after Sunday, I began to get the idea that communion was pretty important in MCC. Tomorrow is being a notable exception. We have it every Sunday. We have communion every Sunday. People have asked me, why do we do it? Why do we do communion every Sunday? Well, obviously, outside of having it as part of our denominational structure, we do it because we know people have been denied communion in their churches of their foundation for a myriad of reasons. You hear me? But we also do it because it's been part of people's spiritual experience for many years. And it wouldn't be a Sunday service without having communion. But looking back on the years of MCC, I've reflected on communion and have decided that communion is a renegade meal. A renegade meal. And when we look at communion as being a renegade meal, I think of three very basic things that helps us understand the power of communion as not only a symbol of our spiritual tradition, but it's a moment where we recognize Jesus' final lecture to his disciples, but also to us. I had to get my 3 points in, whether or not it was a regular Sunday service or not. Number one, communion is making an example of Jesus. Communion is making an example of Jesus. When I think of communion, I think of how Jesus, in the very essence of God, gave his disciples a final meal, a final cause of celebration. At the time he gathered with his disciples that night, I'm sure he laughed with them. I'm sure he laughed with them, remembering all the good times that they had together. Do you remember that time that you found Zacchaeus in that sycamore tree? Do you remember the little girl that came to you to help feed? Do you remember this? Do you remember that? I'm sure that they remembered all the good times that they shared, the emotional, tear-jerking moments when he raised the little girl from the dead, when he raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm sure they remembered all those moments where he challenged them to think outside the box. But I believe Jesus did it because he wanted them to remember the lessons he gave them and to remind them of life's truths that he showed them in his ministry. Bishop William Willimon, who is a retired Methodist elder, wrote a book called Thank God It's Thursday. And in his book, he reminds us of these lessons by saying that, quote, Jesus is not here just to give you a purposeful life, a better reason to get out of bed in the morning, a sort of spiritual means for making the world work. Jesus is here to show you the whole truth about reality. He is the fact of life all the way down. Jesus is the fact of life. I believe communion is the culmination of Jesus' example. As he shows us the way to be those followers he has called us to be. For we must remember, as Willimon says, we must not only believe what he says, but also do as he does. Do as he says. Which leads me to point number two. Communion reminds us that we have friends for life. Reminds us that we have friends for life. For Jesus is not just enough to be followers of his example. Jesus beckons us to be and to have friends for life. In his table narrative, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that friendship. He reminds us of the table being an intimate moment that Jesus experienced with his disciples at the table. In his retelling, Paul reminds the Corinthians of the relationship they have with Christ through this narrative. But I think it's also a reminder for us as well. I've been doing communion every single Sunday here for about 3.5 years, and some of you I honor have done it a lot longer. I have never seen so many conglomerations of people taking communion together in my life. Why? Why do we do it? Why do we have people who have not taken communion for the first time in their life all of a sudden take it with a group of people? Because they have established a relationship. They have established a community. They have established a right relationship with each other. For when we participate in communion, we honor and celebrate the friendship that we have. We honor and celebrate an intimacy that this table gives us. And in my opinion, a right relationship with Christ. We share with each other the power of Christ in our lives, and we allow ourselves to see the sacredness of his relationship with all of us. For when we see the relationship Christ has with others, we know that Christ isn't just a privatized relationship we get to keep in a box on the jewelry counter and in our dresser. Instead, we participate in a Christ that we share together. We share together. And finally, my final point, number three, communion as sacrament. Willimon writes that, quote, every dinner table is the scene of service and sacrifice if God gives us the grace to see it. We eat only because of the service to others. He goes on to talk about his story about the food that is on his table. But the food that's on his table is at the hands of those names he will never know. He will never know those names that went through and pulled the vegetables out of the garden, that kneaded the bread. When it comes to communion, most of us in our tradition focus on Jesus because it's on his way to the cross. We focus on the disciples because they provide some drama and gravitas to Jesus' final days. But we don't focus on those who actually prepared the table. We don't focus on those who have hand-stitched the linen to place on that table. We don't focus on the people who kneaded the bread, who put the lamb on the table, who had wine to drink. We don't focus on those people who ensured a proper meal for Jesus. Tonight, we do. We do. You see the altar being laid out piece by piece by piece. until it comes to its full completion. And at the end of service tonight, we're going to see it stripped piece by piece, because people who set the table are the people who will break down the table. Time is taken at great cost and great length to make sure Jesus had everything he needed for this meal. They may not have necessarily known what Jesus was up to that night, but when we focus on those unnamed and unpainted faces we see, we remind ourselves that communion shows us the true measure of discipleship. To reach the unnamed, to reach those people who are not in paints or in paintings. We remind ourselves to have an ability to engage and to reach out in the world as part of our ongoing discipleship. To me, that's what being a renegade is all about. The ability to commit yourself and radical discipleship to this world. And it begins at that table. So this evening and during the remainder of Holy Week, I encourage you this evening to look, study at this table. Look at this table not just as a symbol of a faith tradition, as part of a rote memory that we have to go on every single Sunday morning. Let this table be a living witness to your spiritual life. When Maundy Thursday gives way to Good Friday, I want you to reflect back on this table, for I believe it will strengthen you and carry you through. For King of Peace, Good Friday is right around the corner, but so is Easter. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Precious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for this time. And during this brief prayer, we take honor and we give it to those who needed that bread, who prepared the lamb, who prepared the table, who set the tablecloth. May they be a witness to us, so we can be a part of a renegade gospel, sharing a radical discipleship around the world. Be with us and remain with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.